And so this morning, as we look at God's direction for our life, as we continue this sermon series, as we spend time with the Son, with Jesus, we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, the teachings of Jesus, and we've been talking throughout this series about being, about understanding who God wants us to be, about understanding what He wants us to be. And this morning we reach a section of Scripture where Jesus talks about fasting. Not a real popular topic, at least in the United States that I live in. Not a real popular topic about deliberately going without anything, let alone going without food. But I want us to consider that passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6 and learn from it what it looks like from God's perspective to be hungry and why that can actually be a good thing. And so this morning we begin, as we've done each week throughout this series, looking at the start of this Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 begins, and it says that when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on the mountainside, and He sat down, and He began to teach them, saying, "How very happy are you when life happens?" We know that section as the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when you mourn. Blessed are you when people persecute you. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so this morning, as we reach Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, I want us to consider the purpose of being hungry. Because when we're hungry, one of our greatest desires typically is what? To eat. And I believe the reason that God desires for us to learn to be hungry, to learn to fast, is so that we would have a greater desire to feast upon His Word, to feast upon Him. And there are many times people think about, you hear someone talk about fasting, and immediately for many they'll say, well, that's an Old Testament thing. That was what God's people did back in the day. And yet, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 18, or verse 16, Jesus says, when you fast, not if you fast, not in case you think about fasting, not if it sounds like a good idea to fast. There's this assumption by Jesus that the audience, the crowd that's listening to Him, are doing this sometime. He says, when you fast, this is what it ought to produce. This is what it ought to take place. Now, generally, we think of in the Bible, and particularly because God's law prescribed for it throughout the Old Testament, fasting having to do with going without food. Many times it was going without food and water. It was drawing near to God in a time of giving up the normal comforts of life, the normal enjoyments of life. And I think that's still important, and you can do research and talk to your medical doctors, and they will tell you, unless there's physical reasons not to, that there are actually health benefits to fasting from time to time. But our purpose goes beyond that, because there are spiritual benefits. And sometimes we need, as Americans, to fast from food, not get fast food, but fast from food. Don't get that mixed up. The preacher said we should go get fast food. But to go without food for the purpose of seeking God, for the purpose of listening to God, for the purpose of spending time with God. But I also think it's important in our culture to recognize that we also maybe could benefit in fasting from other things in addition to food. To fasting from technology, from television, from social media, from the things that fill our mind, that fill our time, that distract us from the living God. It's not that we're saying we're giving it up completely. So there may be some things God wants us to give up completely, but He doesn't call us to completely give up food forever. And I believe many of the things that we ought to step away from, He doesn't call us to completely give up forever. He's just saying step away for a season to create a hungry so that you can be hungry for the living God. And so when we do that, we gaze into the instructions that Jesus gives us and we decide that I want to be hungry for God. Now, there are times where I plan a special event or a special trip, or I want to go to a restaurant that has food that I really enjoy that I may not get very often. Now, when I plan for that, I can tell you one thing. I don't spend all afternoon eating and snacking on things. I choose to go without so that I'm really hungry by the time I get there. Especially if I go to a buffet. I want to get my money's worth. I don't want to walk in and be full already. I want to enjoy and I want to savor. And I don't want to, and I typically do keep eating until I'm no longer savoring it because I'm stuffed. But that's the problem that I have, unrelated to the hunger that I began with. And that's God's desire for us as we learn to set aside various things so that we would grow in our hunger for Him, that we would savor His Word, we would savor our time with Him, that we would truly enjoy it. And sometimes we find ourselves doing religious things without enjoyment because our mind is on something else. I'm in a Bible reading plan, and there are times that I open up that Bible reading plan and I enjoy just spending time with God's Word, and I continue even beyond what that day's reading would normally be because I enjoy it so much. But there are other times I'll open that up and my mind is on 100 different things and I have other things planned, and the enjoyment is not what it should be. I'm just doing it to get it over with. You know, we do that with food sometimes. We eat it because it's there, not because we're really enjoying it. And God says there's times in life that we need to step away from the things that are just filling us up unnecessarily so that we can be filled with God. And so when I think about learning to fast, I want us to look beyond that and consider what it looks like to fast so that we can eat. And I know it sounds almost contradictory, but when we learn to fast, when we learn to go without, then that time that we spend eating God's Word, consuming His Word, is much more enjoyable. It's much more filling. It's much more desired. And so when we look at it, being hungry, drawing us to a position where we need to eat, we begin by realizing that what we need to do when we're hungry is to examine. One of the reasons God desires a hunger in our life is so that we look towards Him as our provider, as the one who gives. Verse 16, Matthew 6 says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show people they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." And being hungry to the point that we're ready to eat says, I examine my life and ask myself, why am I doing this anyhow? Am I looking for notice? Am I looking for recognition? Am I looking for a pat on the back? Am I looking for somebody to say, hey, look at him. He's super religious. That examination says I look at myself in the times of fasting, in the times of going without, and I discover how much I need God. I don't discover how much people need me. That's pretty self-centered. I go without in order to discover how much I need God. And in this private relationship, we talked about that last week when we talked about being prayerful. The going without isn't a show for everybody else. It's a self-examination between me and God. And when we learn to examine ourselves, in fact, we gather every week here at the Deer Run Church of Christ and churches across and around the world. People gather to take the Lord's Supper, to share in communion, to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we discover in Scripture that God says when we do that, we ought to examine ourselves. Not examine the person sitting next to you, not examine the person that you think should have been here and isn't. You examine yourself, not to see how worthy you are, but to see how much you need God's forgiveness. To see how much you need the sacrifice of Jesus to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we get that mixed up. We think we're examining ourselves to see if we qualify. And there are times people will say, well, I just really blew it this last week. I'm not going to take communion today because I'm not worthy. But I want to let you in on a little secret. If worthiness is the requirement to take communion on any given Sunday, we all may as well just stay seated. Because none of us are worthy. We examine ourselves not to realize our worthiness, but we examine ourselves to realize our need for a Savior. And our time of communion is sharing with Jesus in His death and resurrection. And being filled. And so being hungry will lead us to examine, as that hunger drives us to eat from God's Word. But being hungry will not just lead us to examine, it will also lead us to action, to doing something about what we discover. Schools have begun to resume. Some have already started. Some are beginning this coming week. I know here at MCA, they're beginning their 50th year. This is their Jubilee anniversary as Michiana Christian School / Michiana Christian Academy. I give it up for what God's doing there. And so the students return here Wednesday. But when you go to school, at least when I went to school, I think it still happens, the thing that we dreaded most was taking tests. But the examinations that we take, the tests that we take, the purpose of those generally are not just to keep you busy, not just to allow the teacher to not have to teach. In fact, it requires the teacher to teach more. But that examination is showing us, what is it that I need to work on? What is it that I need to do? If I take an examination, a test on spelling, and I miss half of the words, spell them incorrectly, then action is required. That I work harder, that I do more, that I find a new technique to help me remember, that I take the results and I say, God, what is it that you want me to do? This examination that we do with God's Word by His Spirit is an examination that helps us to see where we need to improve, Verse 17, Matthew 6, "But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to people that you are fasting." He says this time of action is a time where you live life as if you've been filled. It was fairly common where people would want it known that they were fasting. They would want people to look at them. They would walk around looking hungry. You know, that high schooler that comes home after a two-a-day football practice day. Right? They look hungry. You can just see it. And God says, when you're fasting, when you're deliberately going without something, don't make a show of it, but take the actions necessary to live life in a way that isn't obvious. To live life in a way that continues to represent fullness. To live life in a way that shows that even in times of need, God has filled you. One of the difficult things to do when we experience need in our life is to live as if we're full. Because we're still hungry. We're still in want. We still have need. We talked about in Sunday school class this morning, we're continuing through probably the next couple weeks at least, through Hebrews chapter 11, this hall of faith, on how it's faith that provides a substance that we can't see. And when we live life as if God has filled us, because He has, we present not a hunger, but a fullness that only God can provide. And so when we choose to be generous, when our bank account doesn't look like we can be generous, we're acting not according to what we have, but according to what God desires. In fact, Paul writes to a church who he had talked to, he had spoken with about giving to the poor in Jerusalem, about meeting a need that existed. And he says, "You didn't do what I expected you to do. I thought you would give a little bit, but no. What you did was first you gave yourself fully to God, and then God enabled you to give above and beyond what anyone thought was possible. It's through the actions of trusting God, of putting our faith in Him, of living as if He has filled us because He has." So when we learn to fast, we allow that hunger to lead us to action, to lead us to an action that represents Jesus, to lead us to an action that helps Jesus to be seen. This past week, not only did we experience great storms across the United States and here regionally, but there were storms around the world. In fact, within this time frame, there was a typhoon that went through the Philippines, causing great landslides and mudslides in some of the mountainous regions. And one of the things that was able to happen as a result of that hunger for rescue was Brett Mitchell, a missionary to the Philippines that comes from here that we support, has a dog trained. He's working on, we've talked about that throughout the summer, he's working on another dog trained to assist with his son's diabetes. But he currently has a dog trained for search and rescue, and the villages around the area that he lives in sought him out so that his dog and he could help with the rescue of people. Now, he could have easily said, "Well, I'm a preacher of the gospel, I've got things to do, I'm busy. This dog is for us." But that's not what he said. He went and helped. And as a result of that helping is the action in the midst of the hunger of that nation. He's been able to speak about Jesus, about God being the God that finds. And that's the result that God wants to create in our life. When we discover hunger, whether it's in our own life or in the lives of someone else, God's calling us to action. And we spend time fasting, we spend time drawing near to God so that we can hear what it is that He wants us to do in response. He's not calling all of us to go get a search and rescue dog and be available for that. But He is calling all of us to love people in the way that He created and designed us to love people. That requires action. James tells us that faith without works, faith without deeds, faith without action is dead. It accomplishes nothing. And so we go through these times of deliberately going without so that it creates a hunger that leads to action on our part. But being hungry is not just about examining. It's not just about acting. It's also about trusting. Faith requires us to act without knowing. For certain, from human perspective, what the result will be. We act trusting and believing that the result will be what God desires it to be. It's faith that says I'm acting regardless because I believe God's Spirit convicted me to act in this way and it's going to help someone. Verse 18, kind of an overlap of what we just looked at. So it's not obvious to people that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. How do I know? If I give up something now, how do I know I'll get it back? How do I know something better's coming? I'm described at times as a hoarder. I like to think more as a collector, but I see things and I say in my mind, I could probably use that later. And one of the difficult things that I continually learn is that when someone else has a need for something that I have that I've just simply stored, I'm hoarding, I'm not even using it, to trust that if I give it to them to meet their need, that I'm not going to need it later. Or that if I do need it later, to trust God will provide another one. I shared this story before. It's been a while, I think. But a number of years ago, I was working at camp. I was actually, at that point, volunteering to help with some construction and building projects that they were doing. Projects that required some new septic systems and some new drainage systems. And one day, they had run this drainage line and had an access to it so they could clean it out when needed. And the guy in charge says, you know what? Would be really nice if we actually had a manhole cover that we could put over this access. And they were just covering it with a piece of plywood and putting a block or brick or a huge stone on it or something so it didn't get taken off or blown away. He says, you know, if we had a manhole cover, this would be really nice. And I just kind of laughed to myself. I've got one in the car. I'd saved it. We had torn out a patio in front of the house. It was actually there in front of the house. There was a well pit, and our original well to the house that I live in was under this patio. And before we moved there, they'd put a new well in, and so this was not even being used. And the patio was kind of broken up, and so I tore out that patio, rescued that manhole cover, and poured just a concrete slab there. And I saved it. I said, I, you know, you never know when you're going to need a manhole cover, right? And threw it in the back of the car. I think it was coming out of winter. I kept it in there actually for weight to help get around the winter. And here we are at camp. And this guy says, well, if only we had a manhole cover, as I've got one. That was hard. It was hard because I knew if I admitted that I had one, the right thing to do would be to give it to them. And to trust that I wouldn't want it sometime later. Yeah, you think, why would you want it later? You never know. I wanted to play frisbee with it or something, you know, Hercules here. But that's probably too much of a glimpse into my mind that I worry about what I might want to use later. Sometimes to the detriment of helping someone that's in need now. And being hungry, learning to fast, deliberately going without things reminds me that I can trust God to provide even if I give away everything. Now, Jesus did not, he asked one person in Scripture to sell everything he had and follow him. It wasn't because it's required for everyone to sell everything they have. It's because Jesus knew that that man's heart was solely focused on his possessions. But even if God would call me to sell everything and give it away, it requires an action, a trust. It requires a trust before the action could ever take place. And that's what fasting, whether it's fasting from food or technology or social media or anything else, it says, I trust God to take care of this in a way that's for my good. As we looked at in Hebrews in Sunday school this morning, it was that recognition that the ancients, those of old days, were commended for their faith because they trusted God for what they could not see. They acted as if it was tangible, as if it was real, because faith said it was. And sometimes we're hesitant to fast. We're hesitant to deliberately be hungry because we don't trust God. And God's desire for us is not to have a self-righteous group of people that gather and say, look at me. God's desire for us is not to have a group of sad sack downers, people that say, poor me. God's desire is to have a group of people that are hungry. If you were here for that message on the Beatitudes, on being blessed, and even if you weren't, you may recall that back there in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who are hungry. Why? Because they will be filled. Because they will eat. They will examine themselves. They will act. They will trust. And through consuming God's word, we're filled with His presence, with His Spirit. Fasting is definitely not a popular topic for two reasons. One, because it's not comfortable. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about going without. Two, because if we're doing it well, we're not talking about it because God says not to. And so, are you hungry? Are you ready to eat? We come to this time of decision. A time that God's desire for everyone that's heard His word is that we would respond to it, not according to what Tom says you ought to do, but according to His Spirit. Because His Spirit has the ability to convict each one of us individually in a way that is right for us. Perhaps that conviction is, I need to learn more about fasting in general so that I can do it. So when Jesus says, when you fast, I can know in my mind when that is. Perhaps I need to learn about being deliberately hungry for God. Perhaps you're already doing that on whatever basis God has led you into. Maybe it's become routine. Maybe it hasn't resulted in what you thought it should have resulted in. And His conviction is saying, when you're hungry, examine yourself. Take a closer look. Maybe He's saying, when you're hungry, act like you're my child. Do what I call you to do. Learn what is good and right. Maybe He's calling you that when you're hungry to trust Him. That those fears that keep you from deliberately being hungry for God would melt away. Because you're willing to examine, you're willing to act, you're willing to trust. All of that comes through relationship. I trust God will provide even when I deliberately make myself hungry because I walk in relationship with Him and He's never failed me. Oh, there have been moments I thought He did. There have been moments when I was uncertain what it would look like tomorrow, what it would look like 5 years from then. There's moments where I would say, God, where in the world are you? But those moments would grow in learning to trust. But it does begin with that relationship. And so if you're here this morning, if you're joining us online and you're not walking in relationship with God, if you've never declared Jesus as your Savior and Lord, been buried with Him so that you can be raised with Him, it's where it begins. Where your hunger is filled. Where you eat fully from God's Word. I'd love to talk with you about your relationship with Jesus. And if you're here, you can join me in the room to my left in just a few moments as we sing. We can begin that conversation. If you're joining us online, you can give us a call here at the church. Send me a message. Whatever platform that you're watching on, just message through that. So I want to talk about being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus. We can begin that conversation. But I say each week we gather primarily because we've made that decision. We believe Jesus is Lord and Christ. We desire to live for Him. We want Him to not only be in charge of our life, but we want Him to be known to the people around us. And so our decision is a little different. Our decision has more to do with, do I really hunger and thirst for God? Do I deliberately become hungry so that I can eat and truly enjoy walking with God every day? If you just need someone to pray with you, you're welcome also to join me in the room to my left and we can pray together. You're always welcome to find somebody near you and say, hey, would you pray with me? And pray where you're at. Go into one of these other rooms to pray. Agree to meet after church or sometime this week to pray. But pray. And as you pray, whether you're praying with someone or you're just spending time talking with God, be prepared in that time of prayer to examine, to act, and to trust. And in so doing, you are built up in faith even as you encourage others. If you have a decision that you need to make, make it between you and God. determine today that your hunger for God will be satisfied because you've chosen Him above all else. Would you stand as we sing? Thank you.